We are continuing a series in the book of Galatians today, looking at Galatians chapter 4, and we're looking at chapter 4 specifically, verses 21 to 31. In those chair Bibles, that's found on page 812. If you're getting to it in your own Bible, whether electronic or otherwise, it's about halfway through the New Testament, past those big books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you hit it. Galatians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 21 to 31. Let's follow along as I read it. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but his son by the free woman was born as a result of the divine promise. These things are being taken figuratively. The women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, "Be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband." Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son, born according to the flesh, persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Let's pray. Father, the truths that are stated here, I so need them to be anchored afresh this day and every day to the depths of my heart and my being and my soul. Would you help us to not just listen with a sense of, oh yeah, I've heard that before. But would there be a quiet desperation right now that helps us to understand the weight and the impact of the law and the freedom and the glory that is birthed and born by the Spirit. Lord, would you move and work in this time? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Religion gets confusing. Islam follows Allah, says it's one God. Hindus, they have millions of gods. Buddhists, they have more of a philosophy of how to live right. Many people seek to appease spirits and ancestors. It gets so confusing. Judaism says there is only one God, and Christianity says there's one God, but in three persons. And we find that there's all of these contending things. They're all so different, and yet they're all really classed in two various ways and approaches. All of them but one say the same thing, and that is that people seek after God or gods. One, Christianity says God comes seeking after people. Now let me explain why I would say that, and it's this. I want to postulate with you, even if you're searching out Christianity, if you're wondering if this is really true, if you've wrestled some with whether or not this is really the place, this is the stuff that I want to give my life to. If there is a God, it is reasonable then to assume that there is one true religion. If there is a God, that he has one way that he wants to be made right with human beings. And it is also reasonable to assume then that there are false religions because there's also a devil who's trying to get us to turn away. and to move away from that way. And therefore, there would be false religions all over the place trying to turn us at odds with what God wants to do. And it gets confusing. But each of these ideas, understand, are mutually exclusive. They cannot be true because one excludes or proves the other false, which leaves us with a choice. Life, going after and trying to please and trying to be right with God by works, the Bible calls it, the works of the flesh, or living in the freedom of the Spirit. That choice is before us this day and every day. So to put it in, frankly, what is my favorite title I came up with for Galatians, who's your mama? Okay, I know. I had fun with that. I don't know if you're gonna or not, but I'm gonna. So who's your mama? First, the story of the two mamas, the war between the two mamas, and then thirdly, choosing our mama. Now, again, we only have two choices, this way or that way, one mama or the other, and we are making that choice every day. And you will make the choice today. You'll make the choice today. And you'll make the choice tomorrow. And you'll make the choice this afternoon as to who we will follow. So let's first review this story of the two mamas, because I don't want to assume that everybody knows the story that Paul is using here. And he makes an important and interesting and a weird, frankly, twist in the story. So let me review the story. We begin at creation in the book of Genesis. And then shortly after creation, we have the fall of humankind choosing sin. And then along comes the flood because of the imminent failure, just over and again failure of humankind, and so the flood wipes it out to start afresh. But then people continue to go their own way, and God decides instead of wiping it out and starting again, what he's going to do is leave people to continue their existence, but now he's going to create an example people. And he's going to use that example people to be able to help all of the people of the earth come to know and understand who he is. And so he begins with one guy. And that one guy's name is Abraham. And that is in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham is 75 years old, and he has promised that he's going to have a son. Now, they wait 10 years. He's 75, and they don't have a son. And so in Genesis 16, they become impatient. Sarah gives Hagar to, that's her slave, an Egyptian. She gives her slave to Abraham. And at 86 years old, Abraham and Hagar have a son named Ishmael. Now, this solution, it was not uncommon in the day. If you couldn't bear a child, you would use a slave to bear a child. And that child was yours. You, in that sense, own the child was able to be your heir. But even though it was common, it certainly wasn't trusting. Once Hagar conceived, though, she began to despise Sarah, and the war began afresh and anew, the war of the mamas. Because now Hagar, with pride in her pregnancy, looked down on Sarah. Genesis 17. Abraham is now 100. Sarah is 90. And they have their son, Isaac. In Genesis chapter 21, Isaac is probably about 3 years old. We're not told how old at that point. We're told 100 when he's born. He's weaned now about 3 years old. And Ishmael's about 17 years old. And the half-siblings begin to fight the next generation. The war continues. This mama or this mama. And Sarah requires Hagar and Ishmael to be gotten rid of so that they would not inherit the war continues. In order to understand, though, the irony of what Paul uses here, you must stress the importance of something if you didn't catch it in your reading of the text. You see, the Jewish people know that they are descendants of who? Isaac. And Sarah, not Rebecca, and so they are the descendants of them. But here he makes the twist and he says, remember, who was coming and tempting the Galatia churches to go back to the Judaistic ways of circumcision and the whole law? It was the Judaizers. It was Jewish people. And what he does here is he makes them descendants of Hagar. He makes them to be Hagar's descendants. They're paying attention to the flesh, to the mama of the flesh. So it's an amazing twist for a Jewish man to do with a bunch of Jewish people speaking to this group of people. Now, let's grab hold of this a little bit to make sure that we're practical about it too. So I'm going to put up a picture here of two women. One quite young and the other quite old. Okay, neither of these women have ever had a baby. Okay, this tough quiz. Since neither of them have yet had a baby, which one do you think God has to help to have a lot of descendants? I mean, that's the story that's going on here, right? Which one needs God's help? And we see that, and we know it, and we forget it. Verse 23, son by the slave woman was born according to the flesh, but the son by the free woman was born as a result of the divine promise. Look at this. Here is the slave woman, the child born of the flesh. In other words, it was a fleshly endeavor, and we would look at that and say, well, it's just natural. Please understand and grab hold of that idea. But there is one that is born of the Spirit, and that's this woman. You see, it's clear that God had to work. But the moms represent here a very important lesson, and Paul has been repeating this lesson over and over, and he takes a familiar story and he turns it on its head to be able to help us to really see, do you get what I'm telling you? He's been telling us, and he's telling us, and he's telling us, and there's a very important reason why he keeps telling us. It's because you and I forget. The choice that you make is to live out of the flesh, or it is to live out of the Spirit, and don't make it more complex than that. And so we come with a choice today and every day, and that choice brings us to a point of war. And so we have here, secondly, the war between the mamas. You see, we love to believe in personal righteousness. We do not like admitting that we are bad. We do not like admitting that we fail all the time. And so we begin to put ourselves on show. We only display the things that are good about us. We hide the things that are bad. I want you to notice that they waited 10 years and then they decided to use human performance. They used the way of the flesh. 10 years they waited. How long do you and I wait before we start manipulating and using the means of the flesh? They waited 10 years. How well did that work for them? It didn't work well, did it? And we're still seeing the consequences today in the two descendants. Verse 21. You want to be under the law? Now, please understand what it means when Paul says under the law. Because you might be reading that and thinking, well, does that mean we don't have to obey the law at all? We can do anything we want? We can break the law? No, that's not the point. Do you want to be under the law? In other words, what Paul is saying, do you want to rely on the law to be right with God? And as soon as you begin measuring your being right with God by human performance, by works of the flesh, then you've decided, I can do it on my own. I'm going to be right with God by the works of the flesh. That's what he's saying. He says, you want to be under the law, then you're going to have to do the whole law. Verse 24, figuratively, the women represent two covenants. Please understand what he's drilling home again. There's only two options here. Two ways to approach God. By this mama or by that mama. And let's look at what that really contrasts. Let me put it up in a chart, what summarizes verses 22 to 26. You see, one is the religion of works. That is about Hagar. She is the slave woman. She represents Mount Sinai, the slave children. The slave woman's son is by a natural birth. This was the work of the flesh. But it is a covenant of slavery. And here's what's amazing. It also then is the earthly Jerusalem. And he's saying, you're a descendant of the earthly Jerusalem and of Hagar if you're depending upon the works. And he's pointing to the Judaizers as doing that. It is legalistic religion. The religion of grace are the descendants of Sarah, the free woman. Isaac was brought by a miraculous birth. And it's the covenant of freedom. It is of the heavenly Jerusalem. It is of genuine Christianity. Why heavenly Jerusalem? It is not wrought by this world. It is only by the works of grace and of God's working. So let's look at our two childless women. Again, which one do you think would produce more children? Verse 27, be glad, barren woman, you who never bore a child. Shout for joy and cry aloud, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now, I want you to understand something. We don't think that way. Understand what word choices he's made. A barren womb is a dead womb. He's saying life comes by death. And unless you're choosing death, you will never know life. Life is birthed by the free woman, comes from death. And it's death to self, to my own stuff, to my ego, to my performance record, to my righteousness. True life is given and not earned. You see, great is the life found in death. True life is given. It is not earned. Verse 28, you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of promise. How do we become the children of promise? By believing and receiving. So make no mistake, only one of these truly works. But again, we often choose the wrong. Now, it's important at this point we take a step back. Remember the overall context of the book. To whom is Paul writing here? To believers or non-believers? To followers of Jesus or those who have not yet followed? Who's he writing to? Followers of Jesus. So he's writing to me. He's writing to me. He is driving this home to us, the Jesus followers. And so what we have to see is that we will choose to follow the law and the slave woman, and then what we do is we become enslaved. It's called idolatry. I'm going to pick up that word again in a minute. So when we choose to live by the Spirit and the free, we are free, but it comes via death. That's what the story is telling us. It's only if there's death are we really free. That's the only way that we win the war is by dying. Our greatest strength is often the place that we lose the war. Let me get personal about that to help us to understand that we do this all the time. I'm a pretty organized guy. Okay, I expected a little more laughs out of that. My staff and those who have worked for me would say that is not true. That is an understatement in the extreme, right? You guys weren't helping me out there very good. I'm a pretty organized guy. I mean, if you want to know where the pencils are, I can tell you precisely where the pencils are. So a couple weeks ago, Kim and I were going to put the air conditioners in, the window air conditioners. And so we go out, we drag the air conditioners up from downstairs. And as I'm heading upstairs with one of the air conditioners, going up both flights of stairs, and I'm carrying it up, I realized we didn't have the screwdriver. So I said, can you go get the black screwdriver that's right next to the blue screw holder? She goes out and comes back in, and she says she can't find it as I'm lugging this up the stairs. And in a very sweet voice, I said, what? You don't believe that? I haven't even said it yet. Yeah, liar. I said, what? How can you not know where that thing is? We use it all the time, and it's been there for 5 years. Why do we lash out and measure the ones we love the most by our own strengths. And so I had to apologize, and she's a very gracious woman, and she forgave me again. But you see, here's what I did. She didn't measure up to my standard. I didn't measure her against my weakness. I measured her against my strength. And I chose the flesh. See, they chose the law. They chose circumcision because they could do it. And so that's what they measured others against. See, if you're a producer, if you're somebody who really accomplishes a lot, then everybody who's not a producer, you look down on. If you're somebody who is really given to patience, then you look on and down on anybody who is not patient. If you're a very healthy person, you look down on someone who is not healthy. If you are a real prayer warrior, then somebody who doesn't pray, they're not very spiritual. If we are an evangelist, then we look down on those who are not evangelists. We measure each other by our strengths, not by our weaknesses. And please understand that some of the people who are most in danger of this are the people who have been following Jesus for a while. You have experienced great victory in Christ, for which we should rejoice. But it can also be a weapon that you use against other people, and that is wrong. Children of the free woman, live free and do not put others under a bondage. If you are looking down on other people, you are losing the war of the mamas. Children of the free woman, live free and do not put others under the bondage. And if you are looking down on other people, then you and I, when we do that, are losing the war of the mamas. Understand what Sarah, this free woman, demonstrates dying to. Please understand that for her, in that day and age, to be barren was a horrid disgrace. And so she decided what was natural and normal to do. She chose the everyday thing, what everybody in the culture was doing. And she went with the flesh, and it brought and brings disaster. And it does in our lives all the time. It can be, for her, it was this fixation of the disgrace of being barren. But for us, it might be earning money, and we're destroying those we love by our fixation on earning money. It might be by gaining prestige, and we're deciding that we're going to have that. It can be sex. It can be power. It can be deciding to be popular on the playground, and we compromise our values. We are bowing to the God, an idol that we have decided to allow to be seated in our hearts, and we go the way of the flesh. So, for example, a spouse desires greater intimacy. They talk, and it proves, if it works out, that's all great. But if it doesn't, and then they say, well, let's get some help. And one spouse says, no, I don't want to get help. So now we come to an impasse. There's a desire for more intimacy. Is there anything wrong with that desire? There's nothing wrong with the desire for greater intimacy. But what happens is we have a good desire and we end up putting it into a demand. See, the desire isn't met, so now we let it get rooted in our hearts. And for instance, a husband might say, I work hard, this is not too much to ask, and begins to make the desire more important than the person and begins speaking harshly because my needs are not met. And then I begin to downward spiral further, and I judge does not mean, she might say, well, he doesn't really care about me. He thinks things and money is more important than me. And we begin to wound. And then we move into punish, because idols always demand sacrifice. My desire dropped down to a demand. It's not been met, so now I allow it to take root and seed in my heart. It's something I must have for my happiness, for my well-being. And so we choose then to punish by maybe withdraw, ridicule, sarcasm, outright slander, withholding other things as a way to punish. We have many ways in which we do this. This is the war of the mamas. Circumcision was their must-have, but we have many must-haves. What is the blank is what I must have to be happy and to be satisfied. And when you allow that, and we all do, to escalate and be greater, then what we do is we fail to live the law of the Spirit in freedom and love. And there's only one way to win this war. There's only one way to win this war, either at the beginning of our Christian walk or as we proceed in our Christian walk, and that is where we come to point three, choosing our mama. See, how do you win it? It is a great question, but it's the same for every human. Understand that as every human being has a mama, every human being has a God. You walked in here and you're worshiping a God. It might not be the God of Christianity, and it might not be works of the Spirit. You might not be trusting in that, but every human worships something. And the mamas here represent our approach to our value, to our worth, to our hope, to our ideals, and what we are giving our lives to. In other words, make no mistake, you worship something or someone. The point is that you get to choose, in this case, which mama you're going to be imprinted by. It's available to all of us, even you, no matter how far you've wandered, no matter how many times you fail, no matter how many times that you have said, God, I won't ever do that again, and you've done it again. It's death to that and saying, I want to live to Christ. Verse 30, get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman. This story tells us we don't have to keep choosing satisfaction elsewhere. Idols are common. They're all the time in our lives. We must die to our idols, both internal and external. Because we fail to see this, I want to really be self-revelatory again at my own war. Kim and I recently watched a movie. It was a very good movie, but it had one of those movies that had a 20-second scene. You wondered why in the world they put it in there, and I hated it. Why do they have to do that? And gratuitous exposure. Why do they do it? And I hated it. And then, after I got done with the movie, you know what I wanted to do? I so wanted to go and watch that scene again. And I had that struggle in my mind and heart. I wanted to see it again. And I couldn't get it out of my mind. I want to see it again. And I want to see it again. And then finally, I made a decision. I made sure that I could not watch that scene again. And so then, you know what I did? I became prideful. I got it. I took care of this. And I go to self-congratulatory, I'm a good guy mindset. Do you see the back and forth? Now, some of you right now, you're going, oh, I can't believe our pastor just stood up and said that. But I want you to understand, I'm not the first pastor to make the confession. I give you Romans chapter 7. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep doing. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? There's the question of the day. And notice his answer. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Understand, it is the barren, dead womb which births life. Give up. Die to that stuff. Whether it's the war of what you want to do or it is the congratulatory idea that you did good, because we have to repent also of our righteousness, not just our evil, because we don't have what it takes within us. It's only by death that we come to know life. Could it be that you started this Christian life that way, really trusting God, but you found yourself frustrated trying to live it out now, and you're beating yourself up all the time? Because you're not trusting in the finished work and the grace of God that is the mama of the Spirit of God The same way you began this journey, you continue it, and it's day by day. It's moment by moment. Suddenly something happens, and we have to go there again. The solution is always the same. Sanctification is provided by the gift via the free woman. It is given to us. How do we receive it? By dying to our own efforts and our own even righteousness, not just our evil. And so the solution really is simple. We believe the gospel. We believe that I'm desperate, and I really am that sinful, and that I'm absolutely always in need. John Piper says this, sin is what you do when you are not fully satisfied in God. Sin is what I do when I am not fully satisfied in God. But when I die to the temporary and the unsatisfying, I will find myself satisfied in Him. And that's the war. Therefore, verse 31, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Will you live there? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, you are not children of the slave woman. Give up thinking that you can fix this of your own flesh and receive the free gift of Christ's righteousness afresh this day, today, and every day, moment by moment. It's our choice. It's your choice today again. You begin here, and you continue here. Who's your mama? The war continues, but the victory rests in the stayed assurance that the covenant is completed. Christ's sacrifice that we will remember here in a minute is sufficient. We begin by faith in that work, and we continue by faith in that work. And there is no other means. Today, will you receive a fresh infilling of that? The Spirit of God wants to move in your life today to help you to know a victory over the war that has been waging in your heart. And if you haven't begun it, then begin it. But if you've been struggling in it, surrender, die. You cannot fix it of yourself. It's Christ and His sufficiency. He comes. The Spirit brings cleansing. That is the mama of the Spirit. Will you surrender to the Spirit of God? Let's pray. Father, I pray right now, particularly for those who have not surrendered initially. Maybe they've been relying on their own good record. They look around and they've been measuring their good things against other people. And they find that sufficient. But help them to understand the standard that is put forth here. If I choose that way, I must fulfill the whole of the law. Never sin. So, Father, I pray that today their hearts would be broken. They would give up. And they would receive the finished work of Christ. Father, for the rest of us, who maybe a short time ago or a long time ago, we made the decision to follow Christ. But today, we're reminded again that we rejoice in a Lord who was killed, buried, and raised, that the power of the risen Christ would continue to remind us it is only by grace that we stand. So, Father, we repent of our sin, and we repent of our righteousness, believing that it's only Christ's righteousness that works the life that is pleasing to you. I pray, Father, that you would move and work in this time. We give you thanks for the opportunity to continue to worship you and to trust in the finished work of Christ. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.